Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in a series right now called The Culture of the Kingdom. And what we've been doing is going through the Sermon on the Mount, because we want to get the Sermon on the Mount for real, get it? We don't want to have just read those three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We don't want to have just read them one time and be like, got it, I'm good. We want to get it in us. And the only way to really do that is to spend some time there. And so as a church, as a congregation, we're kind of camped out there right now on Sunday mornings. We're spending some time. And so each week for the past couple of weeks, we've been taking one of the Beatitudes and talking about it. And this morning, we're going to talk about blessed are the meek. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek. And I just want to talk a little bit about this. The concept of meekness. We often think of meekness as weakness. So many times we think of, if you're meek, it means you're like, you just kind of roll over and let people beat you up. And like what does meekness mean? Meekness actually means power under control. Power under control. Instead of it being weakness, it's actually you have the strength to act and you chose not to. It's not that you're weak, it's that you're actually strong and chose not to exert that strength for righteous reasons, for good reasons. Having the capacity and not and choosing not to use it. Now that's pretty countercultural. I mean, in our culture, everybody tells you, use everything you have, get one leg up everywhere. If you can talk some trash about somebody and that gets you ahead in life, talk the trash. That's all wrong. Like, that's not how Jesus builds his kingdom at all. It's totally countercultural, but it is the way that Jesus lived. And it's something that Jesus values greatly. And here in his introduction to what it means to be a Christian and to walk with God, he tells us you'll be blessed if you can learn how to be meek. If you can learn to enter into those situations and instead of acting out of that strength that you have and causing problems and kind of throwing your weight around, instead using that meekness or using your position, instead laying down that power and operating in humility. It's one of the ways that he wants the people of the kingdom of God, that's you and me, it's one of the ways he wants us to act. You know, there's in every society, there are laws. I had a fun thing yesterday. I loved this. This was so great. You're going to love this. I had somebody walk up to me at the prayer room yesterday, and they said, hey, I know what the Texas state laws are, but I just wanted to ask you, how do you feel about concealed carry? Like, if I've got in my CDL, like, how do you feel about me carrying a weapon? I go, it's Texas, carry. And they were kind of blown away by that answer. And I was like, listen, you got the training. Go ahead. Carry. Somebody comes and gets me, you shoot them down. It'll be great. But what was fun about it for me is the reality of the statement of each state, each government, each city, each nation has laws that operate the culture of that community or that nation. As members of the kingdom of God, we've got a different set of laws. It's so funny because most of them are backwards to the ways that the rest of the world operates. As members of the culture of the kingdom, as members of the kingdom of God, Jesus gave us a different set of rules to operate by. And he told us, if you'll operate by these rules that sound a little odd, if you'll do these things that seem a little backwards, you'll actually be blessed. You'll live better. You'll have more stuff. You'll know me better. You'll get to experience fullness. But they are countercultural. So we kind of have to fight our mind, fight our flesh in order to do the things that Jesus said you'll be blessed if you do them. And one of those is be meek. Here it is, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, just a fun little nerd fact for those of you who, you know, like to get a little bit of the context here. Jesus, we know Jesus is called the Son of David. That's one of his names. Jesus in this beatitude is actually quoting David. He's actually quoting his father David. This came out of David's mouth first, and I gave you the verse there. Psalm 37, verse 11. See how closely it looks. Psalm 37, 11 says, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. It's the same thing. Jesus is quoting, he's redirecting it a little bit because he was in this, blessed are you if you do this, blessed are you if you do this. So he was kind of in a flow. So he adapted his father David's language. I just think that's kind of fun because part of meekness is not even taking the credit for something. And here's the son of David quoting David in the Sermon on the Mount. I just thought it was kind of a fun little nerd fact. So now I can move on. All right. So meekness is power under control. Let me give you a little bit more on that. Think about the most, you know, powerful horse. I mean, this like stallion, you know. I don't mean the Clydesdales with the fluffy feet. Those things are kind of frilly looking. I'm talking about something powerful. You know, I mean, it's got a big old chest and it's, you know, just this big horse, okay? And it's like able to do whatever it wants. And it allows, I'm telling you, allows, it permits the trainer to put the bridle on it. There is no way you're going to get that horse to just, that you're going to conquer it, like get it in a headlock and put that bridle on there. The only way the bridle is going on that horse is if that horse lets you. It is the only way. Because that thing is a big old horse. It can do whatever. I mean, just, you know, with its big old hoof thing, get you and you'd be dead. He's like, the only way you could wind up with getting that bridle on that horse is this powerful stallion says, you know what, I'm okay with you putting that on me so that you can control me. I'm okay with it. That's powerful. It's actually a picture of meekness. It's the power under control, a power that you have that you're choosing to lay down. That you're choosing to be bridled, if you will, in a particular area. And so power under control, not using your money, your power, your influence, your position to benefit yourself. Having it, but not using it to lord it over other people, not using it to puff yourself up, not using it to make yourself bigger and better in life, but using those things instead to make a greater impact for the kingdom. Showing preference to others is another way that you could look at this. And the phrase meekness could rightly be interpreted as using what we have in this life to help others instead of just benefiting ourselves. Showing preference to others over and above ourselves, instead of using all of our gifts and our strengths and everything that we have to harm another person or to take a step over another person, is instead using what we have to help another person. I'll give you some great little examples in life. Just think about your job situation. Using some position in your job to help somebody else get hired, even though that might mean that it's more difficult for you to get a raise anytime soon. Using your position, using what you have, using opportunities that the Lord has given you to help further other people, to show preference to other people, that's meekness. Now listen, I'll just tell you this. I do not have the strength to make decisions like that unless I believe God is real and he's watching me and he sees me. I couldn't do it. I can't be nice just to be nice all the time. I have to be motivated. If you need a little bit of motivation, Jesus said, blessed are you if you make the meek decision. I'm watching. I see you, though it might cost you in this life, though it might keep you from getting ahead, though it might not be the response that your flesh wants to give. If you'll do it, I see because I'm God. I'm watching you. I'm paying attention and I'll bless you. Now, if I know that God is watching me and he actually cares about the decisions, and now it's a secret conversation I'm having with God, it's not about what's happening with me and the person. It's not about what's happening with me and the way that others perceive me. If I know the decision I'm making is one that God is watching, well, then I can make it. Then I can do it. That's how meekness works. That's how the kingdom of God works. Is there's an invisible God who is more real than you. You may or may not be real. I've seen The Matrix. I don't know. You may or may not be real, but God is real. He is more real than you. God is real and he's watching you. And the principles of the kingdom are if we will take the steps, like God's real, like he's real, that he will reward us. That's how he operates his kingdom. Let's talk about our attitude towards others. Put up that Philippians 2 verse if we can. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. This is a great picture of what meekness looks like. Relating to other people out of the overflow of the revelation that God is real, he's watching me, he cares about my responses in my heart. Paul says this in Philippians 2, do nothing. Oh no. Oh no. Do nothing. Do no things. Do no things. Don't do anything. Don't find a situation that this doesn't apply to. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value other people above yourself. You're all better than me. I know because the Bible tells me I'm supposed to believe that. Value other people, their thoughts, their position in life, their family. Value them above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This is like the craziest thing ever for an American. This is the most backwards thing I've ever heard. Like, this is totally not how you and I think in our natural self. We do the exact opposite of this and feel justified. Like, there, I did it. I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. Why? Because I valued myself as better than you. Because I looked to my own interest and tried to squash yours. I mean, that's how we think. And that's not how the kingdom operates. Jesus actually wants us to do the opposite. I'm going to read it again because it's so painful. It's a good that hurts so good. Do nothing in your job, in your family life, in your relationships, in your friendships. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But rather, in humility, learn to value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, needs, desires, likes, preferences, but each of you looking to the interests of others. Well, I'll tell you one thing that would be really cool. If we as a church really did this, then here's the good news. You start to look out after everybody else's interest, and everybody else is looking after yours. Well, now the kingdom's working. The rivers are flowing. I'm blessing you, you're blessing me. This is part of what we were talking about, you know, when we first planted just a few weeks ago about making Sunday mornings a time where we're giving, where we give to each other, where we encourage each other, pray for each other, help each other, whatever, each other, doing something for one another, because that's actually how the kingdom of God flows. It's a part of the principle of meekness, is that we wouldn't just look to our own interests. We would genuinely look to, I want to help you. I want to help figure out what you need and help you get to that next place in God, that next place in your job, that next place in life, that next place relationally. Looking to the interests of others, start to do the little self-assessment. Looking for ways that you can actually help another person be better. Help another person get further. Help another person in some way. That's meekness. It's using your power, because you have power. You have power relationally. You have power with your spheres of influence. You have power. Use it. But don't use it on you. Use it on them. Make them better. Help them go further. I mean, isn't that what Jesus did with the cross? I mean, the cross is like the meekest thing ever. It's God, for crying out loud. And he dies to make you better, to give me hope. Like, this is the principle of the kingdom. When we give others in order to see them go further, using our power. I'll just say this too. I think this is a missing piece of godly character. It's not that nobody ever shows meekness ever. It's just, it's kind of rare. It's not like one of the most predominant things in our culture. I think it's a missing piece of what it actually means to be a godly person. To be godly. Like, to be godly, we would normally list off, you know, this characteristic, this. I think meekness should be one of them, like, big time on the list. And I think it's one that's kind of missing, and it's one that we want to restore to what it means to be a godly person, to be somebody that, like, pursues God and knows God and lives out the reality of having a life with God, is that we would operate in meekness. But it's so backwards. It is totally not what you want to do today. It is the exact opposite, but it's so rewarding. Think of that one time you did it right, that one time. You know, you accidentally did something nice. You did something and you helped somebody get to that next place, whether it was job or relationship or whatever. You helped somebody. You used your power, influence, money, time, whatever, and you helped them get someplace. And it felt pretty good. It really did. And that actually wasn't like, you know, humanistic. That was you participating with the kingdom. And part of the reason you felt pretty good was because you were operating according to a kingdom principle. I mean, you could actually feel that all the time if you wanted to. You just have to keep giving out. You just have to keep using your strength for others. Jesus was the supreme example of meekness. Let's go back to that Philippians passage, but just a little bit further in the passage, that next verse, Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Look at this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was that mindset? Oh, you know, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Oh my gosh. Yeah, try to be like God. You know, who's God, who but doesn't carry himself like God, who doesn't use his godness to make himself better and get a bigger this and a more of that. He uses his godness to help the others. Dang, that's incredible. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Check this out again. The most powerful man. You could change the word to the richest guy. The richest guy ever didn't consider the fact that he was a quadrillionaire something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he used his quadrillions for you. The most powerful person didn't use his power to puff himself up and be awesome. He used his power to make you awesome. This is crazy. This is a kingdom principle. Jesus just lived this out. Think about it in your life. Think about what that could look like. You're like, well, I'm not that strong. Oh, hey, man, I know that one. Like, well, I'm not that smart. Boy, don't get me started. I'm not that rich. Oh, Jesus. Whatever you are, I promise you, you've got a little something somewhere, some area of strength that you could use to strengthen somebody else. It's using your power, whatever level of stallion you are in whatever category, go ahead and put that bridle on and be used of the Lord to minister, to help others, to benefit others. Don't use it for yourself, use it for others. Some powerful examples all throughout the word. Put that passage up, Mike, if you don't mind, about Jesus on the cross, the Matthew 26. You know, we know the story. Jesus is on the cross. He's dying, okay? It's the craziest thing. No matter how many times we hear the story of the cross, it is like the most unbelievable thing ever. God, as a man who was born a baby, died on a cross so that you and I don't have to die and go to hell if we don't want to. So that we could know him. This is the craziest thing. He's on this cross and he's in pain. I don't like to get paper cuts. He's got 9-inch nails driven through his hands, okay? His feet are like nailed together. He's got a crown stuck of thorns stuck into his scalp and there's blood. He's feeling abandoned and betrayed and mistreated and everything is like super bad day. And he's the most powerful man ever. He has access to everything. And in that moment, if he even wanted to a little bit, it says, do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say that it must happen in this way? You could say it this way. But then how would we get the kingdom done? How would the purposes of God be fulfilled if I used my power to get myself out of this, if I used my power to actually go a different direction than what God's plan is? Jesus, the most powerful man ever, was meek on that cross and did not use the power that he had at his disposal. And he wants us to be like that. I mean, that's Bible. That's how he did it. That's who he was. That's what he was like. And you could study 100 other scenarios where he did that, the same thing, because this is what he's like. I always think about David and Shimei, or Shammai, I don't know how to say the guy's name. 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 12, I gave you a little excerpt here, I'm going to read it pretty quickly. A man from the clan of Saul's family cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard, all of David's like mightiest, fightiest guys, are right at his right hand, okay? They're right at his right and his left. And Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go cut off his head! I'm going to cut off that dude's head. I'm going to bring it to you. We're going to play basketball with it later. I'm cutting off that dude's head." And King David, can you just imagine? This is the king getting pelted with rocks, cussed at, all kinds of stuff. King David's response was, "Yeah, go get his head." No. His response was, the king said, "If he's cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask? Why do you do this? Leave him alone. Let him curse. May the Lord look upon my misery." That's crazy. That's crazy. This is the king getting pelted with rocks. I'm not talking about like, you know, being slandered on the internet by somebody you can't find. I'm talking about a dude that's 20 feet that way and you keep getting dinged in the head with pebbles and you can see him. And your guy with the sharp sword is right there ready to go cut off the dude's head. And you're like, "No, please don't do that. Let's treat him really nice today. He's having a rough one. Can't you tell? Let's be really sweet to that man. Somebody get him some hot cocoa." This is wild. But you know what? Did you see that David wasn't doing it before man? He was having a conversation with God. He said, "You see that man over there? I know God sees me in this moment. And if I will have power restrained, and instead of using my position of influence and power and authority, instead of using what God gave me to do that dude dirty like he deserves, instead of dealing with the situation in my own strength, I am choosing to lay down that power and trust God." I want to tell you, meekness is mostly about trusting God. It's about trusting God with your life and your circumstances. There's a bunch of examples. I'm not going to give any more. I got a bunch more here on the notes. There's example after example in the Word of those that, at least in a moment, maybe they didn't live this way all their days in every moment, but at least in a moment where they showed incredible meekness, power, restraint. And when it comes down to it, it's all about trusting God, believing there's a real God who sees the situation. Do you see David there? David, the one that Jesus quoted about the meekness, blessed are the meek, because they'll inherit the kingdom. He's stealing that line from David. David lived it. David understood, if I let this guy throw rocks at me, God will like me. If I let this guy pelt me with stuff and hurl inserts, God will see me and will bless me. God's eyes are on me. He's watching how I deal with the situation. This is countercultural, and it's real. It's Bible, and it's powerful. This is a powerful way to live. Can I just tell you, feeling angry only breeds more anger. It only makes you sleep less and be unpleasant to your spouse and your friend. Being angry is totally unhelpful for your soul. It's soul traffic you invite in. It's like, "Come on in, all you demons, just mess with me all you want, because I just can't wait to be angry today." Like when we let anger in, it plagues us. Look how free David was. David's like, this is like, by the way, the context, this is like one of David's worst days ever in this whole context. He's like, "You know what? I'm not even going to let it bother me. I am going to walk in meekness, and I'm going to let God decide my fate. I am in the hands of God, not in the hands of man. Not my boss, not that circumstance, not those naysayers. I am in the hands of God. And I am going to act like that's real. Even to the point of not exercising the strength, the authority, the power, the might that I have that could easily change my circumstances and make things better and put me on top in a second. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to trust God." It's powerful. Responding to mistreatment. Interacting with those that mistreat us. This is a little bit further into the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaking more about the subject of blessed are the meek. He gives a little bit more on what does it mean, blessed are the meek. Let's put that verse up there. It's Matthew 5:39 through 41. A little bit later in the Sermon on the Mount. okay? Says, do not resist an evil person. Huh? Wait, what? Can we stop there for a second? No, evil persons are bad. We're supposed to resist evil persons. You're supposed to do everything you can to resist them. You're supposed to have a top 10 ways to resist an evil person. Says, no, don't. Jesus, I don't like this kingdom you started. You're crazy. You're a king that's crazy. He says, listen, I'm actually after your internal reality. I want your soul to be happy, and I want to bless you forever, not for your, 70-year internship called life. Like, what is that? You're going to live forever. Every one of you will be alive forever in heaven or hell forever. Everyone lives forever. Everyone. Jesus is like, I want the quality of your forever to be epic. Let me teach you how it works. Let me teach you the ways of the kingdom. Let me teach you my ways. It says, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn your face and point to the left. Right here too. Yeah, it's uneven. My jaw is all this way. And God hit me on this side, and I'll be back in the middle. It says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you, and take your tunic. If they take your tunic, you're naked, by the way. Give them your cloak as well. Well, now you're really naked. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Can you just imagine this? Can you imagine somebody comes into town, let's say, the governor or something comes down the street, and they're like, hey, listen, we need you to move your car because, it's too close to the street and we think that's a problem or whatever. You're like, well, why don't I just give you my car? I don't have to just move it. You can have it. This is crazy. Jesus said, if you'll learn to live like this in the little circumstances and the big, you will operate in meekness. You will experience blessings in an incredible way. This is how God wants us to interact. Instead of fighting for our own rights, we've just been trained, always fight for your rights. What are your rights? Fight for them. Jesus is totally the opposite. Jesus is like, I think I had the right to not get crucified. Gave that one up. I think I had the right to be called God. Gave that one up. I think I had the right to, and he's got long list of rights. He gave them up. He gave up his rights. We fight for ours. He says, don't fight for yours. Lay them down. But don't lay them down arbitrarily like, just can't wait to be so stupid and broke for the rest of my life. Lay them down knowing God sees you and with expectation, engage God. Like David did. Don't just let the rocks hit you. Engage God and go, I believe you see me. And that by me responding this way, you're pleased. I need to feel that pleasure, please. I need to feel that blessing in my life, please. Engage God. Your life isn't about doing good and not doing bad. Your life is about God. So when you do good and don't do bad, don't do it because it was written in a book somewhere. Do it because it's what God wants. And engage your Father in heaven. You know why I love the Lord's Prayer? I love the Lord's Prayer because it starts off the way that we ought to position our life in everything. Our Father. You wake up in the morning, our Father. It's lunchtime, Father. Situation, Father. It's engaging God. That's what your life is supposed to be about. I don't know how we're living. Maybe we're not doing that. That's what life is. So when you're doing this meekness thing, don't do it because you're supposed to. Do it and engage the living God. Trust him with your life. Trust him. We don't want to expect personal benefits from our actions. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We want to give God the glory, and we want to trust him with the results. We have this thought that everything that we do deserves a positive response from people. I say hi, they should say hi. I give her this, they should give her this. Instead of expecting that our efforts should yield us a return, turn your attention of the yield up. instead of out. Yes, you give us something, you get us something. But the something comes from heaven and not from a person. What a fun way to live. What about the, you just go around and you're doing everything for everybody. You're using everything you got for everybody. And you're constantly living with expectation God's going to do you right. What a fun way to live. What a powerful way to live. Like every day. Why are you so happy? God's going to get me today. How do you know? I'm not going to tell you. I know God's going to get me. What a great way to live. That's fun. We were made to live like this. See, that all sounds like a crazy person, like institutionalize that man. And this is the way Jesus lived. And this is the way Jesus wants us to live. And Jesus actually says, humans actually have the whole humanity thing all wrong. They're totally wrong about how to do human. They're totally wrong about how to be a person. I know how to do it. Be meek. Look to God with expectation to deliver you, to touch you, to help you, to be the one that rewards, that returns. You were hearing Brett earlier talk about, you know, tithing and the Malachi thing. You know what that's all about? It's about using what you have, one of your strengths, money, and going, I'm going to give my money away for why? What am I doing with this? What am I? Because I believe God sees the transaction. And God sees the money go, and I look at the bank account, and I go, oh. And God goes, yeah. And because I got God's attention, because I was doing something that God saw, that's what the interaction's about. Meekness, the whole kingdom of God is about the eyes of God looking at us and living like that's real. What a fun way to live. We can live alive if we trust God with our life and the results instead of making the results happen to on our own strength. Using everything we have to make it happen for ourselves instead. Trusting God to do it for us.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.